How's it going?
All right, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. I was just listening to your commentary there. Very interesting. I kind of wish there was more debate on the system. You know that this Christopher, I was listening to him. I thought he's talking, I think, correctly. This Richard guy, well, he's out in left field. If someone would go, and you ever hear of John Christie?
No, I haven't.
He's a professor of atmospheric science and director of the Earth System Science Center at the University of Alabama. He was awarded NASA's Medal of Exceptional Scientific Achievement in 1991.
Yes.
Now, you go to his website, he believes that there is a change, but we're not causing it.
Well, you know, that's a of the climate scientists I've talked to, that's been a consensus opinion of many of them as well. They don't believe that it's human induced. They just don't buy into that. I spoke very briefly. Didn't have a chance to really get into it with him. We were trying to set up an interview with a French scientist, Dr. Claude Allègre, who was one of the foremost scientists in France, who was one of the original signatories of a global warming letter, I believe. I could stand corrected on this, but I believe to the United Nations. And he now takes a completely different position, and he calls the scientists who follow the IPCC position fanatics. I mean, that's the word that he uses, and you can find information on him in Lawrence Solomon's book, The Deniers. And I thank you very much for the call, Bill. Here's John in Edmonton on the Roy Green Show on the Corliss Radio Network. John, what did you get out of it?
Hi, I've got to tell you, I was disappointed. I didn't get a whole lot out of it. First of all, I hope next time we have this debate, we can talk to two people who are scientists so that we don't start wasting a lot of time with he said, both of them throwing accusations.
Well, that's why I stepped in and stopped them on that.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of mudslinging the way it started off.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that frequently you've accused the environmentalists of not wanting to come on and debate, but you've also, I don't know, have you ever asked John Baird if he'd come on and debate the issue?
Would John Baird come on? I called not so long ago. I called the environment minister's office, wanted him to be on the air, and he wasn't available to us, and they said they'd get back to me when he was available. I know, though, that the politicians, John, generally don't want to get into this because the first thing Mr. Baird would hear from me is, you had a position before the election, you've changed it. Why?
Yeah.
Why did you do it? Because of political expediency. Your position before the election was that the global warming argument is essentially bunk, and now you're trying to massage your way into the argument in a favorable way, and there's no way John Baird wants to deal with that.
And
I'll tell you one other thing quickly, John. I have tried to get scientists on both sides of the debate to come on and debate it. The pro-IPC side will not debate, for example, Dr. Timothy Ball and Dr. Patrick Moore, who have both been willing any time to debate them, so we've done that.
One point that wasn't addressed, and I noticed that this is always brought up by people who are opposed to the global warming, who don't believe that it's happening or that they look for excuses, and that is when they talk about the ice caps melting in the Arctic and Antarctica, they always talk about the oceans, how many inches they're going to rise or how many feet they're going to rise. I watch the news, and increasingly I'm beginning to realize that's not what the debate is about. We're supposed to be concerned about the Arctic and Antarctic ice caps melting because these ice caps work as a natural air conditioner for the Earth.
Gotcha, John. Thank you very much for the call. I have to move along in Big Valley, Alberta. Here on the Roy Green Show on the Corliss Radio Network is Tom.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm well, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good.
I want you to be more generous than that, Tom.
Okay. What I want to talk about is your United Nations on that 18% stuff.
Yes.
Okay, where I live, we have to cross a river if we want to go to Red Deer, some big place. There's a crossing called Mackenzie Crossing, named after Alexander Mackenzie, the explorer who mapped this area out.
Yes.
And when he got here, he ran across a buffalo herd that was 60 miles long and 20 miles wide.
Uh-huh.
Which is more than all the livestock that there is in North America for cattle right now. And on the plains of Africa, the same thing was happening. So why didn't we have global warming back then?
Well, you know, I mean, 10,000 years ago, the Australian outback was a rainforest. It didn't change because of human-induced global warming and or climate change. My view is, my view remains, that it is a cyclical thing that goes on a regular basis on this planet. What I would love to see us do, Tom, is just all of us on this planet Earth say one of the things that we need to do is fight pollution. If we stopped arguing with each other about terminology like global warming and climate change and just said we would get together to fight pollution, I think we'd start to move forward, and I think you'd get a lot more buy-in from the average person anywhere in the world. What do you think, really quickly?
Oh, yes, indeed. And if we're going to, if they're worried about carbon fuel and stuff, why aren't these guys spending all these millions and billions of dollars to create different motors and different ways to fuel and power our, all our stuff in our homes?
Yeah, Tom, thank you for the call. Just go back to 1976, Science Magazine headline, extensive Northern Hemisphere glaciation on the way. Science Digest in 1973, the world's climatologists are agreed we must prepare for the next ice age. Christian Science Monitor in 1974, quote, warning Earth's climate is changing faster than even experts expect. Growing seasons in England and Scandinavia are getting shorter, and the North Atlantic is cooling about as fast as an ocean can cool. That was the Christian Science Monitor in 1974. In 1975, Newsweek, in a cover story titled The Cooling World, wrote, meteorologists are almost unanimous. Catastrophic famines would follow global cooling. And the New York Times, also in 1975, wrote, quote, a major cooling of the climate is widely considered inevitable, and it is well established that the Northern Hemisphere's climate has been getting cooler since about 1950. Those were headlines from the 1970s. Anyway, I thank Lord Christopher Monckton, and I thank Richard Littlemore for joining us. And we will try, we will endeavor to engage scientists on both sides of the issue in a debate on this program. And if they want the full 3 hours, I'm going to give it to them.
Send your emails to roy.green@chorusant.com. This is the Chorus Radio Network.
It seems like every